All right. Again, Alan, I don't know why the Lord keeps giving each of us a 1-2 punch on the messages, you know. The great message this morning that he brought, I heard several people say that was just for me. Of course, I was saying it to them, but anyway. But Alan was bringing out several really good points. You know, Jesus said that even on the good ground, there are some that bring forth 30-fold, some 60-fold, and then some 100-fold. And he was making a good, we got to remember, God is happy with the 30-fold. He is. He's happy with the 60-fold. And a lot of people, that's where they're going to stay, you know. But listen, if you're preaching Jesus and getting people saved or whatever it is that God's called you to do, and you're doing that, praise God, we're for you and we're with you and we thank God for that. But he did mention me in the course of it and said, now Gary is a 100-fold preacher. And I am exactly that. And I make no mistake about that. And if there was somewhere that Gary could go and sit under a 100-fold walking preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean Matthew 12 and verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. Now say great multitudes. Not a few. Great multitudes. And he healed them all. Now that's a 100-fold walk. Because he said in John 14:12, those that believe on me, the works that I do shall they do also, and greater than these shall they do, because I go unto the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, again, if I knew anybody on planet Earth, and I don't mean the gifts, you know, God can work gifts through anybody, really, a baby Christian. Actually, you'll find all the gifts except tongues and interpretation of tongues in the Old Testament. Just homework assignment. But we're pressing towards this. That's why it's calling in the lost, you know, whatever they come to receive from Jesus. I don't care what they come for. A healing, blind, they got blind eyes, they need seeing eyes, they're missing a leg, they need a leg, whatever they come, they need hearing again, need whatever, that they receive it first time, every time, no exceptions. Well, he healed them all. Yes. Now that's the 100-fold walk. I don't know anywhere, if there was a place, see, I believe there's going to be a lot of people come once we're walking there and we're going to teach them. And I would go there and be taught. It's not a pride thing. I would love if there was somewhere to go. I don't care where it is. If it took all my life savings and part of yours, I would go. I mean, I would go because that's my heart's desire. Is that that's our, my calling. So I have to do it like this. I'm not walking there yet. Paul said, he thank God for the Apostle Paul, but he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. He's not walking in the fullness of everything God called him to do, but he says, this one thing I do, and boy, you have to do both. Forgetting. Though you got to forget those failures. You got to forget what's behind. And reaching forward. See, reaching forward towards that mark. I'm pressing towards the mark. Well, that's exactly what we're doing. I'm doing it unashamed. I'm not embarrassed about that. And, it's not just me. I count Pastor Dave in there. I mean, and others that have come before us, pioneers. It's like, and Bronk and Jim and many others. If I start naming names off beyond that, I'll leave somebody out. We're all like archaeologists. We're digging down through 2,000 years of religious trash. That's been dumped on the original foundation stones, the pathway that was laid by Jesus Christ and the apostles. That's the path, and there is no other. So we're digging down through there, finding the original stones, and every now and then we find one. I'm saying all that because this message today, when the Lord was putting this together for me yesterday, See, at this point, I would have to, without bragging, it ain't bragging if it's so, I've become a steward of the mysteries of God. I'm like a library. I've got You know, you can ask me questions on a lot of things, and I'll pull that shelf. Yeah, yeah, I've got that one. And you can ask me questions, or there's a big vacancy right there. And it happens all the time. And I'll just flat tell you, somebody asked me something in Revelations the other day, and I've assimilated Revelations like the other books, but he's just never given me a whole lot out of it. So they asked me a question, and I went, I don't know anything beyond what's written. I mean, you know, and I don't, speculation is useless to me. So, you know, your opinion, my opinion, either one of them matter. Be honest with you. Truth is the only thing that matters. And so if he hasn't, I said, I can read it with you, you know. But he hasn't shown me anything beyond just what's there. So I don't mind saying that I don't pretend to know everything, you know. So if I don't know the answer to a question you ask, I'll just tell you I don't know it. And I figure that's better than me making up stuff, you know, trying to look good, you know. Because this one today, when he started putting this together yesterday, when I say that about the library, boy, was he going to the library. I mean, I started writing this lesson. To me, he was like taking a brick from this, or take, let's do it, stay with the library. He's taking a book off of this shelf, and then he's going way across the library to another section, getting a book there, and getting a, you know, and it was like, what in the world? Because he was drawing on so many things, because revelation knowledge really is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And Dave says, you know, that you got to let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. We're always wanting the roof. See, to me, the roof question for us is revival. Yeah. It is the hundredfold walk. It's when we no longer pray for these young people that are impossible cases with the Lord. Even modern medical science, and if you can't see me, I'm holding up our prayer box. It has pictures of people that even the best of modern medical science has no answer whatsoever. And there's no help at all. But there's no such thing as that with God. So until we can get Tommy Perez, for example, and the rest of them delivered, and I mean to the point, see, here's my hope. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I have an image with Tommy Perez. Here's my image. Because right now, Tommy Perez is in a wheelchair in New York. He's about 40 now, maybe 41. He still can't talk. He can't get out of the wheelchair. He's there's some distortion in his face. He's very intelligent. He knows you're there. He's happy to see you. He can't form his lips to give you a kiss, but he'll take your hand and he'll touch your hand to his buck teeth. And that's a kiss. Sorry. Sue and I have been there, and Aaron was with us on that trip. We went there to pray for Tommy. You know, you don't pay your own way to fly to New York to pray for somebody thinking they're not going to get healed. And this was my first run-in with myself and my own immaturity and my lack of knowledge. Because like Dave says, well, all of us, Sue, Aaron, the parents, a preacher was with us. We milked every, like Dave would say, we milked every cell of our being for faith. You can tell it still affects me all these years later. That was a long time ago. But with all of our, quote, faith, couldn't get him out of the chair. Well, see, and it's understandable, the war that it's been a war fighting since there, because I'm just not willing to accept that as an answer. I'm not willing to stop at the 30-fold, the 60-fold. But boy, Dave warned us ahead of time. He said, that last 40-fold, that last 40%, man, that's a bear. Not many make it through there. Because that's really the transformation to love. That's where all complacency dies. That's where all of your agendas die. That's where all of you dies, really. We decrease and he increases to where we can say, like Paul, for to me, as far as I'm concerned, for me to live is Christ. Well, that's the hundredfold walk, and that's where we're pressing. So I'm going to, this message, as I start off today, I just believe that God, with God, all things are possible. Because normally my lessons are 4 pages long, and this one's 7. Okay, but I believe we're going to make it within this one service, because it would really be great if we could. But I don't want to lose you at the beginning. I almost lost me because I'm going, where are you going? So some of this may seem like it doesn't really even apply to you, and like, well, you know, what has this got to do with revival? Everything. Everything. You'll see right at the end, it was even after I left here that finally the pieces came together and I could see the puzzle, what he's doing. So the title of today's message, Angie, I happen to know it, and it's called Adam's High Treason. Adam's High Treason. I was going to change it to something else, but I think that's the title he wants on it. So there's going to be a lot of scripture like there always is with me. Or at least so far. I don't know what's coming, okay? I told Sue on the way here, I said, he's got this great message, but I don't care if we don't preach a bit of it, and all he does is heal everybody and make us all 30 years old again. How many would be for that? I'm for that, okay? Hallelujah, you know? And we go over where Dave is and get him okay and get him over here too, you know, get him in on this. That'd be a good thing. Hallelujah. But, and does he... if he decides to do that, trust me, we will stand aside and let him do it. Okay, so John chapter 8, go with me there. Now, I will mention these scriptures, and I've already got them pre-printed out on my form here. Now, there's one that I may have to, I don't know if we'll get to that or not, but I've got I'm going to read out of a different version for Alan's sake, if we get that far. And I've got it queued up here on my phone. Other than that, we're sticking with the King James Version of the Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So John chapter 8, starting in verse 41. Now let me give you a little preview. This actually, this whole thing starts before. It starts with the Pharisees and the scribes and putting Jesus to a test, and they brought that woman caught in adultery, caught in the very act. It says, don't tell me that wasn't a setup deal. It was a setup. And notice they didn't bring the guy. You do know it takes two. They only brought the woman. It's a setup deal because they're trying to catch him. They're trying to trick him or something. So know that, but it's a long, that starts early, and there's a lot of things taught, but you got to understand it's all one event. And it's in the temple, by the way. And it was, so this, what he's saying here that we're about to read, he is saying to the Pharisees and the scribes, which the people looked to as being the epitome of righteousness in their day. Ooh, if we could only be like the Pharisee and the scribe. They were the ones that were supposed to really know God. And you wonder, if you ever wonder why they want to crucify Jesus, just read this passage right here. So John 8, we're going to pick it up in verse 41. Now he's talking to them. He's not talking to the drunk on the street. He's not talking to he's talking to the religious leaders of the day. You do the deeds of your father. But then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. How many think they believe that? I think they thought that. I think they thought they were okay. It's like the rich man in Lazarus. I think he thought he was okay. I think he was stunned to wake up in hell. Whenever I preach a funeral, one of the lines, I always get it in there somewhere. There are no unbelievers beyond the grave. Everybody knows the truth then, but it's too late. Don't wait till then and try and receive Jesus, because the door at that point is closed. Okay, back to this. Well, they said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now here it is. You, religious leaders, you are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. Now notice he mentions two specific things here. He was a murderer. That's going to be important later. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. So, and when he speaketh a lie, now he's mentioned murder, and a lie. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and notice, and the father of it. If a lying originated, just think, before Satan, in whatever, in all the universes that maybe God had created, which we don't know. We barely know this one. There had never been a lie. Because Satan's the father of lying. In all, going back through, how does Dave say that? In the beginning, before there was a beginning, and God was already there. And we don't even know how many creations there is that he's made, you know. But in all of that, there was never one lie. What does that tell you about your father? There was never one lie until Satan originated the first one. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words, and therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God. Now this, he said this out loud in the temple, in the hearing of all the people, right to the religious leaders. And we, if you ever wonder why they don't like him so much, talk about speaking the truth in love, knowing that they're going to put him on a cross, and tell him anyway. Earlier in that same chapter, he's trying to tell them, earlier in John chapter 8, he's trying to tell them that if they'll follow him, if you'll follow me, you'll no longer walk in darkness. You'll have the light of life. That's the same chapter where he says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make. He was doing his best. That same, it's all one service. Doing his best to help these old boys right here, trying to get them out of hell. But anyway, that's not the message for today. I got it now from this point. Yes, Lord, I will stick very close. We need to make it through this today. Now, it is so important. I did not get this for years. Jesus did not say, now notice, this is important. You are of your father Adam. He didn't say that, did he? See, Adam was not their father. Jesus says, the devil is your father. Or we could say Satan is your father. Now, in the same way, Jesus is our Adam, right? He's the last Adam. But who is our father? God the Father is our father. It's exactly the same thing. The first Adam sinned and gave Satan access to the human species. The last Adam gave mankind access to the Father so that they could be born of God's Spirit again. Got this? So the first Adam, by his sin, he gave a spiritual death, the very nature of Satan. But the last Adam, by his obedience, he gave us life. That is the very nature of our Father God. Before the fall, Adam was called the Son of God. A lot of churches don't even know that. They don't believe it. I've been called on the cross. So just for your reference sake, if you want to look it up later or now, Luke 3:38, it's got a long genealogy there tracing back. But verse 38 said, and it's given this, who was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. And this one says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Amen. Got that? Yeah. Adam was called before the fall the son of God. Now, he's not deity, but he was a man made in God's image, and God called him his son. Now, Genesis chapter 2. Let's go there. I know you know it, but let's go there. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. We're going to look at the high treason of Adam today. Man, I still hear pages are turning. Hallelujah. Not just fingers on glass. Tap, 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 tap. It's hard to hear those. Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Is that pretty plain? That's not in code, is it? Okay. Now, Satan, we know, came and tempted Eve, and he spoke the exact opposite to her. Now, how did God say it there? If you eat the fruit of that tree, thou shalt surely die. Look at Satan, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. It said the serpent, but we know it's Satan. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Would you call that a direct opposite? All right. That's a direct opposite. Now, Satan added more than just that sentence. He sweetened the pot. He's telling her, oh, God's, he's withholding the good stuff from you. He knows if you eat of this tree, you'll be like him. He's sweetening the pot with her. But it all comes down to this fundamental lie. You got God telling the truth, and you got Satan telling a lie. The sweetening of the pot doesn't matter so much. What matters is Satan's first lie ever spoken to humans. If you disobey God's word, you shall not surely die. First lie spoken to humans. Sadly, in many pulpits today, there are many people, preachers, still preaching Satan's gospel. And I mean today. Not just the Radical Grace Bunch. There's preachers that don't go that far. But there's just a whole lot of them. You can live in fornication in that church and feel comfortable. Keep coming. You can be an alcoholic, drug addict. Now, God loves drug addicts, alcoholics, people in fornication. He's trying to rescue everybody out of that. Okay? But Satan's gospel is you can disobey God's word and you won't die. God says, you disobey me, you disobey my commandment, you're going to die. Now, the radical grace preachers, they go so far as to accuse Paul, or not accuse Paul, they hold Paul up as their apostle. They actually, anyway, I don't want to get into all that. We've already preached that. But they hold Paul up as preaching their gospel of grace. But see, it's Paul, it's through the apostle Paul in Romans 8:13, where the Holy Spirit said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Yeah, but Gary, that's something different, living after the flesh. Well, no, it's not. Let me prove it to you. So the question somebody might ask, well, what do you mean if you live after the flesh? Did Adam die because he chose to live after the flesh? And the answer to the question is absolutely. Absolutely. Let me prove it to you. See, it's essential that we first know that Adam was standing right there with Eve when she finally ate the fruit. I mean, the devil tempted her, well, and actually deceived her. It says she was deceived. But see, sin is never really laid at Eve's feet. It's laid at Adam's feet because she was deceived. It says she was deceived. Adam, he made it, you're going to see it. He made a cold, calculated decision. That is sin. Okay? So, see that you got to see this one in your Bible. Genesis 3:6. It's just right above where we were earlier. I should have told you to stay in Genesis. Sorry. Genesis 3:6. Now, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. I cannot read that without hearing 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that be in the world, for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, these are not of the Father. Okay, sorry. I'm trying not to do that. Volumes on the shelf. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Now notice, and gave also unto her husband with her. Oh my God. Oh, and he did eat. Now he's standing right there. He's standing right there. And I'm going to read this the way he gave it to me. So get this picture. There's Adam and Eve. I don't know. I'm thinking Adam probably heard the whole conversation. I'm thinking he did. But whether he did or not, he's for sure standing there when Eve eats the fruit, whatever it was. So Eve eats first. Adam is standing right there with her. And he watches her eat it. Now God had said she would die. Satan said, she will not die. By all of his physical senses, I'm talking about Adam's, by all of his physical senses, he's watching. Chomp, chew, swallow. Chomp, chew, swallow. He's watching. It does not appear to Adam that Eve died. She's standing right there. Beautiful. Breathing. To him, it appears she's living just like before. By everything Adam could see, touch, smell, understand with his reasonings. Now get this, by all outward appearance, it seemed to Adam that God had not told the truth. And that the serpent did tell the truth. Now, how serious is Adam's next decision? What will Adam believe? On God's side of the equation. Now, see, picture this like a trial. And Adam is the judge. God's, you got two witnesses. God's come and he's testified. If you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll die. Satan has come and testified. No, you won't. You can eat of it and you won't die. You can disobey what God said, doesn't matter. You won't die. Well, Adam's the judge. All right, I'm going to stick now with this. On God's side of the equation, all Adam has as evidence is God's word. That word says, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. On the serpent side, Adam has the word that the serpent spoke. Thou shalt not surely die. But see, Adam also has on the serpent side the evidence of his five physical senses. He can see that Eve is breathing. He can touch her and feel her heartbeat. She's the one handing him the fruit. Come on. So the evidence of the five physical senses backs up what the serpent said. But yet he had no evidence from his five physical senses to back up what God said. If anything, his senses are telling him what God said is not true. You notice we started this off. Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father, and told him Satan was their father. What was the deed the serpent wanted done here? He wanted Adam to disobey the command of God. That's the deed that he wants done. Now, do we understand the level of high treason that Adam committed when he chose to believe what the serpent said? Because he believed on the evidence of his five physical senses to judge who was telling the truth. Living after the sense realm is living after the flesh. And that's why Paul wrote it the way he did. If you live after the flesh, I added, the realm of the senses, you shall die. Now, this paragraph is, I bolded it, okay? I'm going to read it word for word. Now, this is very harsh, what I'm about to say, but it is absolutely true anyway. There was a trial going on in the mind of Adam, and Adam was the judge who will render the verdict. God is on trial here in Adam's mind. Who is telling the truth, God or the serpent? When Adam made his decision that the serpent was telling the truth, he was also declaring that God was a liar. Now that's harsh. See, we have not realized the high treason that really went on. So Adam chose the serpent and his word over God. Adam chose the evidence of his five physical senses as truth over the word of God. And what Adam did is the exact opposite of what the Bible tells us faith is. See, the purest definition of faith in the Bible is Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith in God's word is our evidence. I want to say that again. Faith in God's word is our evidence. Not what you, no matter the evidence provided by the senses. How do you think Satan became the god of this world? Remember Paul, even the Apostle Paul. I think I have the verse later, but it talks about the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that that don't believe. And little g, okay, but still, even the Apostle Paul calls Satan the god of this world. Well, how did that happen? So I'm going to read this paragraph. How do you think Satan became the god of this world, little g? It is when God's son, Adam, chose to believe that the serpent was telling the truth. And he acted on that belief. And by doing so, he was openly declaring, God, you're lying. He may not have physically bowed the knee and worshiped to the serpent, but by his action, what I mean is when he disobeyed and ate the fruit from that tree, he may not have bowed physically, but in his heart he was bowing. And he was saying, serpent, you are the one telling me the truth. I put my trust in you. I can tell by what I see that what you say is the truth and what God says is a lie. I put my trust in you, serpent. I believe you, serpent. I will obey what you say, serpent. And I don't trust God's word anymore. And this is how Satan became the god of this world. This is high treason. This is treason at the highest level. This single decision by Adam is the root of all sin and all corruption, not only in man, not only in this planet, but also throughout the known universe that we know of. Now, Jesus had said, we started this off with that passage. He said, there is no truth in the devil. And notice he called the devil a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Did you notice that? Through this first lie of the devil to the human species, he murdered the entire species of Adam. Choosing physical evidence over faith in God's word was the way out of the family of God. And only faith in the living word, Jesus Christ, can you be born again back into God's family. God, about to have a running fit right there. No wonder he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. You must be born again. Unbelief unbirthed us. Moved us to a different family. But faith in God's word, Jesus is the word. He's the living word. Through him, you can be born back into the family of God. Good stuff. Now, back to Adam's treason. I want to make sure we get this because people just, they don't get it. And you're going to see how this really applies to us here for revival. First time, every time, no exceptions. You'll see it here in a minute. This decision of Adam was so monumental that it actually caused spiritual death to enter into mankind. God had told the truth, of course, the whole time. We know that. But Adam surely died spiritually the moment he disobeyed God. The spirit in Adam was no longer, quote, made in God's image. He changed fathers. It was now known, and Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, the spirit that's in Adam is called the spirit of the world. Spirit of the world. I'm going to read the verse in a minute. And through that fallen nature, Satan became the god of this world. What it means is this is how he gets his deeds done. Lying, thieving, murdering, cheating, all of the everything, wars, everything, and the corruption that's in the earth, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the hurricanes. I just do not believe there was a tornado in the Garden of Eden. I don't believe it. Okay? I also don't think there were blood-sucking mosquitoes. Now, if there were, there might have been mosquitoes, but they didn't bite you. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't there. That's how Satan became the god of this world. And Satan has become mankind's spiritual father now. And the deeds of Satan are being done through humanity. Just turn on the news anytime. But see, that spirit of the world, you don't have to turn to all these. There's going to be too many. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and when he says, now we have received, what he means by now that we're born again, we have received not the spirit of the world. Well, that's what's passed down from Adam and Eve. Everybody's born with that when you're born from your mother's womb. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And I'm so proud of the King James. They put a little S there. They got it right. That reborn spirit that's in you is of God. Satan's not your father. God is your father. Perfect song to start this off. Abba. Abba, I belong to you. Perfect. He even works through the worship ahead of time. He knew what message he gave me. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That's that new creature. That's you, really, the real you on the inside. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That in the margin of my Bible, I wrote inheritance right there. That's your inheritance. Okay. I knew I had this. Now, just for your reference, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, is where Paul talks about Satan being the god of this world. And let me just read it, just for completeness sake. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, that single decision by Adam caused a change in spiritual parentage. God was no longer Adam's father. The nature within Adam was now ruled by what we know as the law of sin and death. Adam went from being a son of God to being a son of the devil. Now, don't get me wrong. Adam and Eve were really sorry for what they did. They realized they messed up big time. And they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. We saw the first lie. Now we're seeing the first religion, being mankind trying to cover himself with fruitless fig leaves. There's no fruit. Trying to disguise yourself as something that you're not. All religion can do, what's that old deal? You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. Yeah. Well, you can make people religious, but until they're born again, they're still a sinner. They can go to church and sing songs, just like the Pharisees and the scribes. They were the epitome of what people thought were. But anyway, so Adam and Eve were immediately sorry for what they had done. And they repented and tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Of course, now Adam blamed Eve. Eve turned around and blamed the serpent. Every time I read that, I think, okay, it didn't work for Adam. No point in me trying to blame Sue for anything. It didn't work for Adam. It's not going to work for me. And all of you blaming stuff on the devil, that didn't work either. Yeah. Adam didn't have to eat that fruit. They were genuinely repentant, and notice God forgave them. And how we know that? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. We know for sure that God did forgive them. But that forgiveness did not quicken their spirit from death back to life. They, even though he forgave them, they were still spiritually children of the devil. They had a different nature in them. God demonstrated his mercy and foreshadowed the sacrificial death of Christ by clothing them with coats of skins. You remember that? Coats of skins. Something, it doesn't tell us what animal, but to me it just had to be a lamb. It had to be a lamb. Something, and I noticed later on, too many books. Something innocent had to die, shed its blood, and make a covering for them. He's already preaching the gospel, see? He's already, and that's a type and a shadow of the Lamb who was to come, who would shed his blood and cover us with a robe of righteousness. Glory to God. But see, even that, if the gospel ended, I'm trying not to, Lord. If the gospel ended at the cross, we'd be forgiven but not born again. We'd be just like them. The blood was shed, we're forgiven, we're covered with a righteousness, the innocence of the one that died. But we're still just an old sinner. We'd still be that children of the devil. So thank God Peter got it right. He understood. He said, no. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we've been born again unto a lively hope. Amen. It's by the resurrection. Thank God the gospel doesn't stop at the cross. Thank God. Christ is risen from the dead, and he is the firstborn of many brethren. Hello, many brethren. Glory to God. I like it myself. Now, from that moment forward, think about it. God is dealing with children. They're not his children anymore. Yet, through that forgiveness, looking to the cross, how did Dave call it? Accounted righteousness. Charge it to the master. Remember? All right. That's the only way he can deal with them. From that moment forward, all the way until Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, God had no children born of his own spirit on planet Earth. Not one. Adam and Eve were not truly his children spiritually anymore. God could deal with them as his children only as long as they continued to put their faith in the innocent blood that was shed for them as their covering. I wrote in all caps, God will forgive you, but sin has consequences. God will forgive the murderer, but the person murdered is still dead. Isn't that right? God forgave Adam and Eve, but the whole universe is still suffering the consequences of their sin. Now, back to the Pharisees and scribes and Jesus. Remember when Jesus told them that they were of their father, the devil? It did not matter that they were physical descendants of Abraham. Talking about the Pharisees and scribes. It did not matter that they were considered to be the religious experts of the day. It did not matter that they could quote entire books of the Old Testament from memory. It's my understanding that to be a Pharisee or a scribe, you had to memorize the Torah. You had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. So here you got people with the first five books of the Bible memorized that Jesus says, you're a child of the devil. Holy cannoli. See, there's only two families on planet Earth. There's only two families. Either you're in the family of God or you're in the family of the devil. Well, how does a person know how do you know for sure you're a child of God? The answer to that is Galatians 3:26. It's one verse, real short. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Every human, God loves every human. Every human is eternal. Every human is going to live somewhere, either with God or with the devil and his fallen angels. Every human is God's creation. But only those who have put their faith in Christ Jesus are God's children. There is no other way to become a child of the Heavenly Father. You must be born again. This is why Jesus declared, and I've got certain, don't try and turn to these too many. John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:14-16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I could go many more verses than that. Now listen, now that we are born in the family, but now that we're in the family, see, yes, sir, I don't have this in my notes, but this is really important, and Alan brought it out a week or so ago. I'll just say it plain English. When you disobey God, you don't revert back to a child of the devil. You want to know why? For a love offering of $19.95. Because God made this covenant in a way that you can't break it. This covenant is not made between God and you, like the law was. It's not made between God and man, like the law was. This covenant was made between God the Father and God the Son. You got that? God the Father. You can't. Your disobedience does not break this covenant. It'll break fellowship. If you persist long enough, you can walk away from this covenant. That's your choice, not his. And you have to work at it a lot harder than you think. Okay? But you work at it enough, you can go to hell if you want to. Anyway. But it's important you understand, we're not in the same position exactly where Adam was. You can't break this covenant. But you're only in it in Christ. Does it sound to you like it might be a good idea to stay in good fellowship with Jesus? Since he is your only ride into heaven, he's the only taxi out of here. He called himself the door. I like taxi. Get me out of here. See, now that we're in the family, this is what I got later. Now that we're in the family, you know, we have to be careful. We don't commit the same treason, even accidentally. Not that it will break the covenant, but it'll sure break off the blessings of God from your life. So let me just read. This one, let's look at this one. Matthew 4:4. We're really doing pretty good. I've only got 3 hours to go. No, we're doing pretty good. Matthew 4:4. See, this is how we live. This is our bread. This is how we live right here. Matthew 4:4. Jesus speaking. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What if Adam had chosen that? You see, what if Adam had chosen that? I make every decision based on the word that God has spoken to me. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by emotions. I live by what God said. That's my life. So to back that up, I've got a few verses here. 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn to all these. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Does that mean more to you now? We walk by faith and not by sight. Here, Hebrews 11:1 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want you to get that. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Let's say it another way. God's word is your evidence. What he said is true. Don't bring in other evidence. Stay with his evidence. Okay? Now, it's important, again, I'm referring back to some of Alan's previous teaching on Hebrews 11:1. See, that statement can be twisted. Who was the writer of Hebrews? What was going on when he wrote that verse? It was to the Hebrew Christians, Jews, that had been raised up under the law, but that somebody preached Christ to them and they'd got born again, but now all hell was coming out against them. I mean, all hell. Many of the parents would disown their children, would take away your inheritance. If they find out you're a shop owner, a business person, and you're a Christian, they would shun your business and shut you down. You couldn't enroll in university. You couldn't get loans. You couldn't just on and on and on. All hell was coming against them. And why? The pressure was trying to get them to go back, trusting in the law of Moses. What was their faith? Later on in verse 6, God, no matter what it looks like, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah, but look around, Hebrews. They shut your business down. They kicked you out of school. Your parents, they buried an empty coffin and said you were in it. They gave your inheritance to your brothers and sisters. What do you mean God blesses you? He's a rewarder. All I can tell you is I have God's word. God is a rewarder of those that do. But look at the evidence. Look at all the hell that's going on in your life. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Those that believe on me, the works that I do shall they do also, and greater than these shall they do, because I go unto the Father. But look around. Look at the empty chairs. Look how the building's more slopety now than it used to be. Same carpet that was here 25 years ago. And it was wore out then. Look. Look at the evidence. Look at all this evidence. It ain't working. It ain't working. It ain't working. Drop back to 30-fold. What's wrong with you? God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We're going to seek him. Knock on that door. And I'm telling you, that door is going to open. When it does, we'll ask and we'll receive. And we'll have a revival like the world has not seen since the book of Acts. And actually, the promise is the glory of this latter house shall exceed the glory of the first. And that was Solomon's. And in the natural, that has never happened. There's never been a temple, a physical temple erected greater than Solomon's. So he has to be talking about you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The glory of God is going to be more manifested in this temple than was ever seen in Solomon's house. Glory to God. God, I know I'm preaching good. Glory, my feet are running. Do you see me going? I think I did 2 laps right there. I think I did. Oh, I love it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now get this one. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. For our light affliction. If you read what he called a light affliction. Stonings and beatings and fastings and all of this stuff. This light affliction. Stripes on my back that so many nobody can count. Which is but for a moment. I'm 73. Hopefully, my mother's 99, still going strong, so I got a long time left. But if I make it to 100, from God's perspective, it's just a moment. It's like a period at the end of a sentence. It's like just this light affliction, Paul says, light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. What did Adam do? He looked at the things which were seen. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Well, what's not seen on planet Earth right now is the kind of revival we're pressing toward. For the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Think of all the souls that will be won if we can demonstrate the gospel like Jesus did. See, I especially love the story of Noah. I love all of them, but Noah changed the world, that the generation that he lived in. He believed what God said to him. Now, talk about believing God's word. He believed what God said to him, even though he had never seen rain, much less a flood, much less a flood that would cover the whole earth. But Noah had something unseen. He had the word of God. He knew what God had said. And he chose to believe what God said, even though all of his physical senses, all of his human reasonings, and all of human history to that point proved otherwise. But it says in Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, by faith, not looking at history, not looking at reasonings, not looking at anything, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and that means reverence, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. See, it's one thing to believe God for a day. Alan was telling a little bit of the testimony about in the early days and believing God for money. And it's one thing to have a victory on, February 1st came and we paid the bills. Oh God, here comes March. Sue and I used to go to bed at night. It's one thing to believe for a day. This went on for years, you know. And we didn't actually say this, but the feeling was like, okay, we're going to bed now. You still alive? Yeah. You too? Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we didn't die today. Surely we will die tomorrow, I miss. Just the way it went on for years, you know. See? But we had a promise from God. Sue had already, I got me a wife. Because my big fear, I kept having, the devil kept giving me these dreams of sleep under a bridge wearing gunny sacks, you know. Just total failure. My wife, I told her, she said, well, even if that's the case, and we wind up sleeping under a bridge wearing gunny sacks, I am with you. And I want you to obey God. Give me an Eve like, well, I actually got mine already. That's what we need. I got me a wife and you can't have her. But anyway. Isn't that great? So this is really how it applies to us. See, we're going into revival and we're pressing into something that's not been seen. Let me say it a different way. This is the way Dave would say it. Satan has successfully stopped every group of people that pressed into this kind of revival since the book of Acts. Now, there's been revivals. Gifts revivals and consecration revivals and other kinds of revivals, and they're usually pretty short-lived. Some of them a few months, some of them a few years. Most of them not more than that. Few. But see, he has told us in no uncertain terms in the blueprint that once this revival breaks out, this one will harvest until he returns. Amen. See, this one will harvest until he returns. Okay. Well, we cannot make the same mistake Adam did. So I just wrote a few things. We're headed down the home stretch here. Every day, we spirit-filled, born-again Christians, we have multiple opportunities just like Adam did. Are we going to believe what God has said in his word? Or are we going to believe what the serpent says through the five physical senses? Are we going to believe God's report or the world's report? And I wrote just a few examples. Could have wrote many more. If I had Dave's talent, I would use the voice of the nasalated flesh creature. Remember you little nasalated flesh creature? I'll try it. Brother Dave, my emotions tell me I'm not saved today. I think I was saved yesterday.
My emotions are telling me I'm not saved.
But see, Romans 10:9. How are we to live? By every word of God, right? Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it does not add if your emotions agree with it that day. See? How about this one? The pain in my... Now, I could preach this. See, y'all know I'm still... But, you know, I'm going through a healing on my back and other things. Glory. But the pain in my body, Brother Dave, it's telling me I'm not healed. I got evidence. What's your evidence? Pain. And I walk funny. I'm talking about Gary. Well, what does Matthew 8... I just picked a few. What does Matthew 8:16-17 say? It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Why? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And he did it by healing them all. Pain, you're a liar. If it was deafness, I'd say deafness, you're a liar. And we're going to have to talk to it. You're a liar. I'm going to talk to that mountain. You're going to move too. And in the meantime, I get help. You know, I'm wearing glasses. If I needed a hearing, something, or think I do need a hearing aid, but if I needed a hearing aid, I'd get a hearing aid. But I'm not going to stop pressing toward the mark. Amen. See, I'm not going to take my glasses off and drive by faith into your car. I'm going to wear my glasses, be confessing the word, and telling any symptom that it's a liar. Because by his stripes I was healed. And by his stripes I am healed. And he renews my youth like the eagles. See, I'm thinking 30, maybe 33. Dang. I look a whole lot different in every way at age 33 now. Okay, anyway. How about this one? I'm just not healed, but I know that I'm not. I've got all this pain in my body. I can't hear, can't see, and I can't walk. I got all this evidence. Mm-hmm. How about Psalm 103:2-5? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all of thy diseases. And if that's not enough, who redeems thy life from destruction, crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I'm lapping again. Right now I'm lapping. I'm running around this building on the inside now. Here's mine and Alan's testimony. I lost my job. Or actually, God took away my job. It looks like we're going to starve. Money stayed away in great abundance. We're going to go under. We're to live by what? We're to live by God's word. How about Psalm 37:25? I have been young, now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. How about Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How about Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we're on page 7. So we started off this lesson in John 8, where Jesus revealed who their father really was. But you got to notice earlier in that chapter, that same chapter, chapter 8, in the temple, talking to those people with the people listening, Jesus was trying to rescue them all. Because he says in John 8:12, same chapter, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Later in the same chapter, he said unto them, trying to get them to understand what's going on, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." He's trying to show them there's two different families here. Okay. Then verse 31 and 32 are famous verses. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if," boy, there's a big if "you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Glory to God. And then in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus is from above. Fallen man is of the world. Jesus has the life of God within him. Fallen man has the spirit of the world in them, which is the very nature of the devil. The only way to escape is to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, "I am the door. You want out of this family? Go into God's family. I am the door. There is no other door. There is no other way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved." So the last Adam, this last Jesus, the Bible calls him the last Adam. There's not another one coming. He has been made a quickening, life-giving spirit. See, God forgave Adam and Eve in the garden. He forgave them, but he couldn't quicken them because it had to come through a man. By man came the fall, by man came the resurrection. Okay, but legally, it had to be done through a man. That's why Jesus had to be born as a man and do what he did. But this, I'm going to read that paragraph again. "The last Adam has been made a quickening, life-giving spirit. He quickens us from death to life," the very life of the Father God. "The Son has this life within him, and he's able to quicken all who call upon his name." And so, just for your reference, I'm going to finish up with three verses here. Yep. 1 Corinthians 15:45. "As it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." See, God could forgive Adam and Eve. And they were saved in the sense of they were held in reserve all of the centuries until finally Jesus descended into the earth. He preached and took captivity captive. I'm sure Adam and Eve was in the audience, along with Abraham and Moses and all the believers of the Old Testament. And he preached the gospel to them. They got born again. And when he ascended, they went with him. Glory to God. All right. So that's John 5:21. "As the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will." And verse 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." Now, Satan is still the god of this world. Paul wrote that in our dispensation after the resurrection. He still calls Satan the god of this world. And the reason for that, most humanity has the spirit of the world in them, and it's through that spirit that he has access for his deeds to be done on earth. Boy, that was said really well. Now, our job, we are at war. If you don't think we're at war, you're wrong. We are at war. We are on temporary assignment from heaven on planet earth to find our place in the body of Christ, and I mean that literally, the body of Christ, so that the works of the Father can be done through us. This is the deeds of the devil are being done through that spirit of the world. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? "Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." In the same way that the devil is getting his deeds done through those in the world, the Father is getting his deeds done through the life of Christ in us. God, I'm going to stay a hundredfold preacher. We're going to keep pressing to the mark. We're not going to be moved by what we see. We're not going to be moved by the size of the crowd. We're not going to be moved by old carpet or anything else. Because Jesus said, "Those that believe on me they are going to do the same works. And bless God, we're going to do them. Did you get anything out of that? Father, we just, what wonderful, wonderful truth, Lord. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for growing us up. I was sharing with somebody the other day, you know, again, I'm sorry to interrupt my prayer, Lord. I got to quit interrupting the Lord, you know. Anyway, I remember in the early days, God was so good to Sue and I. Just, there was one time we needed a particular vehicle, and we just laid it out. We want it to be this kind, this color, this, I mean, and you know, he sent exactly that. There was another time Sue was, she had a desire for a certain ring that we couldn't afford. Now that's not got a whole lot to do with revival, does it? I like that ring. I want to have a ring like that. Okay, but now I can tell my stuff too, okay? But I just say, he was so good to us because there's no way we could have ever really afforded that ring. But he heard that prayer. And just like a grandparent gives three ice cream cones to the granddaughter, Aaron heard me preach that. She said, "You never gave me three ice cream cones." I said, "I was never your grandpa." It changes, doesn't it? But he gave us that vehicle. He gave us that ring. He gave us he's given me so many things like that. Okay, here, have another ice cream cone. But see, we're growing up. We're not so interested anymore in rings and ice cream cones and vehicles. What we want now is for the works of the Father to be done. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And the other side of that coin, the only access the Father has to planet Earth is through Christ in you. Keep coming. There's more to come. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I'm going to try the prayer again, Lord. I'm trying. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Lord, thank you for growing us up beyond asking for childish things and that you're getting our mindset matured so that we can be mature sons and daughters of God. And you can lead us into the true work that you want to do through us. We know, Lord, we're not workers for you. We're the vessels through whom you work. The deeds of the Father be done, Lord. The deeds of the Father be done. I just hear that again. Not the deeds of Satan being done. The deeds of our Father we will do. But it's the Father in us. You do the works. Father, thank you. Bless everyone here. Bless everyone watching. Lord, bless every one of them, Father. May your presence, your tangible presence, be so present. Not only in the service, but as we go to our homes and we go out to eat and fellowship. But Lord, we're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep pressing towards that mark. Father, you will have your revival. In Jesus' name we pray, and if you agree with that, you can say, Amen.